ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey fans, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. This is the Gas Man with my co-host Lugs.
How's it going, everybody?
This week, we took the adventures to the good state of North Carolina at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the good old All-Star Race, which brings back a lot of memories for us. Start off, as always, we want to thank you fans for being awesome as you are, wonderful as you are, beautiful as you are. And I do want to say we're at 500, as of this episode starting, we're essentially at 500 downloads, 500 listeners for our podcast. So for that, we have something special for you. What is it, Lux?
Got some giveaways.
Awesome. What do they have to do to get it? I don't come up with something on the fly, right?
Yeah, I guess. Tweet us that you want something.
This is what I think we should do. One is we'll throw some kind of competition out on Facebook just to try to get our Facebook profile out across the web a little bit more. But I think what we should do is I think since I'm a, you know, grew up a Dale Senior fan, he grew up a Jeff Gordon fan. Let's have some fun with it. So the third person and the 24th person to email us, wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Again, wreckingandracing@gmail.com. We'll send you something. It's that simple. Listen to the show. Tell your friends. Win some swag, right?
Yeah.
So, and also pay attention to our Facebook page, Wrecking and Racing on Facebook. We'll have a giveaway on there as well, so you might be able to win more than once even. I don't care. Let's give some free stuff away.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun with that, Lugs. So again, fans, thank you very much. 500 downloads. And only, this is only our 10th episode.
Is it number 10 already?
Yeah, this is number 10.
Wow.
So this is a big, mile for us. So yeah. 10 episodes, 500 listeners, a lot of time.
About the All-Star race.
A lot of effort. Yeah. It's our All-Star, right?
Yeah, it is.
This is our All-Star break right here, folks.
We should celebrate.
Yeah. So we are going to celebrate by sponsoring the official beer of NASCAR Busch. We're going to get our show started with the Busch.
Official Busch Light.
Heck yeah. So I hope everybody had a great weekend and enjoyed a little, I'm not scared to say it, a little kind of fun All-Star race.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Did you get a chance to watch it?
So yeah, I watched every bit of it, of course. And in like every single race we've watched this season for the most part, Kevin Harvick just ran away with the show.
Yeah, he ran away with it in the last segment, but he didn't dominate it.
Okay, we'll start there talking about the week, okay? So how many people took home checkered flags in the All-Star race? Not the Open, the All-Star race.
I know Busch won a segment, and obviously Harvick won the end one. I don't know who won the end. I know Harvick won. Did he win the first segment?
Only two people took home checkered flags.
Was it just them two?
Busch and Harvick.
Gotcha.
And Busch only took home one of
those. But he didn't dominate it.
No, and you know, you got to see a little different people up front, like Daniel Suarez there at the end. So, was it Larson that was up there too?
Yep.
And he had a little scuffle. Yep. And there's several, you know, green, white, checker type finish or restarts.
Mm-hmm.
Fun stuff. So, essentially, we'll backtrack a little bit here. Let's talk about the Open, then we'll work our way up to the All-Star race. So, our segment winners for the Open. Do you know all of our segment winners?
For the Open.
And in order.
Yes.
For our fans, in order, who are our Open segment winners?
So, first one was Bowman.
Good job.
He raced his way
good
in
job.
There. Next one was Suarez.
Again, good job.
And third one was Allmendinger.
Allmendinger.
Yep.
So,
no Chase.
No Chase. Mm. No Chase for the Chase yet. But we'll get there. I mean, okay, so we'll go ahead and talk about Chase now. Obviously, fan vote.
Yep.
Is that a surprise?
Not at all.
No. So, I want to throw a question your way, Lugs. If it wasn't Chase, who would it have been?
The fan vote?
Yes.
Man, I think, like, Matthew
DiBurrito?
Yeah, I think he
he's pushing hard for it.
He's got kind of a loyal fan base, like on
remember the Sed Heads or Boar Sed?
Yeah,
kind of reminds me of that a little
like
bit.
Like on Reddit and stuff, like they
he's
back,
social media friendly.
Yeah, they back him pretty hard, so I think it would be him.
Cool.
I don't think they list like the top five.
Cool if they did. I don't think they do as well. At least I have not seen that. The only person I thought that might dethrone Chase, if he hadn't won the segment, would have been Bowman, maybe. Just for taking over Junior's car.
Yeah.
But still, he doesn't have that personality that stands out, I don't
think. Not yet.
I think over time, maybe a little bit more, but as of right now, no.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely not a surprise for Elliot winning the fan vote.
No.
What I do have a surprise, at least for me it was a surprise. Eric Jones.
Yeah.
He finished second in two of the three segments.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy was so close getting in.
Yeah. And I'm happy for Allmendinger. I was glad to see him win. He was
competitive. I do like AJ.
Yeah, he was competitive in each of the segments.
I think he finished like eighth in the actual All-Star race.
And did he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he did, actually. He was top 10. And it was even with him getting into the wall. He plowed the wall there at one point in the actual All-Star race. But, you know, cool to see him run up front, lead laps, challenge for the win, stuff like that. It's good for him, good for that team. Good to see another Chevy up there. And Suarez even called it after Suarez won the second one. He said, I think that Allmendinger, the 47, is going to be the next winner of the next segment. And he did.
Good.
Elliot almost had it. I think Allmendinger passed him with two laps to go.
Right, so. He did.
But there was some really good racing there. That last segment was really awesome, I thought.
Yeah, so overall, what was your thoughts on the Open?
On the Open?
Yeah.
That was very exciting.
Bunch of underdogs going at it.
Yeah.
Smaller teams. That's going to kind of lead
Bubba
us into
a
later
Bubba was up
segment.
There. Bubba was leading with a few laps to go. He had a shot at it.
Strategy. His was strategy-based, I think.
Yeah.
That kind of bit him a little bit.
Two tires versus four. That bit Byron a little bit. And, a couple other people as well.
Yeah, I definitely think it was exciting. And maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe it's, Almirola. I thought he may actually would even win a segment.
I thought he would too. They said that his car was set up for short run, but it fell off too quick, is what I heard. So, but yeah, I thought for sure he would be one that would win one of the Opens. And he was up there, but.
Who do we pick last week to win Opens?
I picked him, Almirola.
I think so. I think I may.
I selected Almirola. Bubba was my dark horse.
Yeah, I can't remember what I put. Did you write mine down by chance?
Because
I can't find my notes from last week. So.
Okay.
And I've slept and I can't remember.
I think you said Jones.
I was thinking Jones was one, and my dark horse may have been.
I think it might have been. Was it Bowman?
It may have been Bowman. Yeah.
I don't know. We should go back and listen.
Yeah,
to
so we'll go back and listen to our last episode to see if maybe I can pull out a
somebody
victory.
Somebody email
somewhere.
Us or post. We'll send you something if you tell us who.
And once again, the third person and 24th person to email us, wreckingyourracing@gmail.com. Just say hey, say what's up, say whatever.
Tell
you
us
say.
Who our picks were last week because apparently Gaspin can't remember. He's getting old.
And we'll get you some swag your way. And on top of that, I do want to say we're going to be in Daytona, right?
That is true.
July 7th.
You've got a package coming tomorrow, don't you?
We do, yeah.
Got some cool stuff coming.
Some cool stuff. So if you're going to be in Daytona for the Coke Zero Sugar 400, let us know so we can meet up with you. And we might have some fun little gifts to give away.
Less than 50 days remain.
Yeah. So I didn't want to say this, that, we are not sponsored by anybody but ourselves. So everything we do comes out of our own pocket. And that's because we care about you guys and we want to try to do something good for you.
Trying to get this puppy off the ground.
Yeah, so please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your mom about us. I'll talk to her. She wants to say hi. All the good things coming your way, folks. So let's now move on to the actual All-Star race. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Kevin Harvick. No surprise, really. I mean... The only surprise is that this race was so much unlike with the rules package like any other race.
It was, yeah.
But he acted like it was just a normal weekend for him.
Yeah, he was really in position there for that last 10-lap stint. Like, again, he didn't really dominate it. He did dominate the last 10 laps, but he didn't dominate the whole All-Star, all the segments, which was refreshing, but he was the best car at the end and had the best strategy, so... I mean,
yeah.
Kudos for that team. They're on a roll.
They are. They must. What's the old saying? They must be jelly or butter because they're on a roll, right?
Sure.
Okay. I'm old school, I guess. I don't know. So, is there anything that really stood out to you about the All-Star race itself that you want to talk about?
I mean, just the sheer competitiveness to me. I mean, Yeah, the cars were slower, but there was a lot more side-by-side racing. It seemed to be a lot more strategy-based as far as the moves you had to make on the track, who you were drafting with, who you were going to push, you know, things of that nature. It wasn't your typical, you know, get strung out type race at Charlotte. So I think that was encouraging to see a little bit of actually racing strategy, like pack racing at your stricter plate races. So.
You know what the really cool thing is to me, or one thing that really stood out, and I know it's not like the rest of the rules package throughout the season, but there was 5 Chevys in the top 10. When have we seen that rest of the season?
Maybe Daytona.
By luck, if that was the case.
Yeah.
So we had Chase at 5th, Johnson 6th, Larson 7th, Allmendinger 8th, and Kane 10th. So maybe that's only 4. I counted 5. That's Chase, five. Johnson, Larson,
Allmendinger,
and Kane. Yeah, it's 5. Yeah. So in the top 10, so that's awesome. Yeah, good. Good for the Chevy guys maybe making a rebound.
Half of the top 10. Or maybe this rules package just suited that car a little better. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to figure out. I mean, they're definitely good racers that are in that mix with Elliott and Johnson,
right.
Larson. Definitely a wheel man. Maybe that was part of the downforce and stuff, was them able to actually do a little driving on their part.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I seen about the race that maybe not wondered a little bit, but questioned a little bit with Alex Bowman, he finished last. Poor guy hit the wall.
He did, yep.
He made a comment after the race. Did you see the comment he made?
I did not.
So this is his quote. After race, he said he feels like other drivers are taking advantage of him. So what's that mean?
I guess he's not being aggressive enough. I don't know.
Exactly. So kind of in his wording, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially he was saying that previously, drivers would come up to him and race him hard, and he would lift. He'd be like the first one to lift to let, you know, to keep it from a wreck happening.
Mm-hmm.
So he's feeling like these drivers are taking advantage of him, and he's going to start becoming more aggressive. And he started by the All-Star race. So what happened is he's actually racing really good, worked his way up, I think, to 10th. And then someone cut him off, so he rammed him.
Oh, really?
Screwed up his nose. So that really made him push for real bad for the rest of the race.
Mm.
And he ended up losing it there at the end and hitting the wall, stuff like that in the third segment. So he kind of screwed himself a little bit. So now he's going to try and find that border between aggressive but yet cautious.
Because
he can't hurt his team, but he can't let people take advantage of him anymore.
Right, right. Got to find that fine line, yeah.
And don't we see this out a bunch of young drivers? I mean, they come in, some of them, I'm like, especially like the Hendrick guys, they're kind of cautious. And then you hit them one too many times, they just kind of come out of their mold, and then they become a little more aggressive.
We have seen that a few times, yeah.
Like Elliott and Hamlin.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think that's anybody. Anybody that gets pushed around too much, everyone's going to have a breaking point at some point. Just finding that, right? What's going to lead up to that? What's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So definitely some good cars taken out during the All-Star race. Yeah, Bowman finishing last. Keselowski, Bowyer, Busch, Truex Jr.
All involved in one accident.
Pretty much, yeah. All in the back of the pack.
Going 4 wide, essentially, into the corner. That
never works
at Charlotte.
You know, another good note, besides Allmendinger finishing 8th, you know, kudos to AJ. AJ, if you're listening, you know, we are fans of you. You're a great guy, even with Adderall. You know, that was right down the road at Kentucky. We're not too far from that track. And then Casey Kane finished 10th.
Yeah, and he even smoked the wall, too. He had huge running with the wall and still came back for 10th. So, good on that
team. Yeah, absolutely good. You know, one thing that was kind of exciting, did you watch the qualifying for the All-Star race?
I did. Larson?
Larson, yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did.
Or did someone send you a Snapchat?
Someone sent me a video of it. Yeah, thanks, Lux. So, yeah, Larson come flying in like, what was he, 100?
A little overzealous on
that
one.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was still cool to see it, I guess.
And that's one great thing about the All-Star qualifying is the no bars hold, you know, pedal to the metal.
No holds barred, you mean?
Whatever.
Whatever. I only correct you because I know you would correct me.
No, I wouldn't.
It's out of love.
No, I wouldn't. So before we move on for the week, you know, for other news
and
stuff.
Well, hold on.
As I said before, we do. I was gonna throw it your way and say, do you have anything else you want to talk about in regards to All Stars?
I think you're leaving out a big piece: the run in between Logano and Larson.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, I did not put that in my notes, but yes, I did see that.
Yeah. So was that deliberate or not?
Okay, the first part was not deliberate.
For fans that didn't catch it,
Larson kind of got in, kind of heavy, slid up, got into Logano. I don't feel that was purposeful.
I don't either. I think it was hard racing, couple laps to go.
But Logano coming like a dart right back at his car and knocking him in the corner and spinning him out, that was intentional. Yeah, however Joey wants to spin it.
Larson was very fortunate because it turned back to the right. And, you know, whether it's sheer luck or sheer talent, he got it pointed back down to the grass and went down through the infield. But, yeah, I'd put $100 down on the fact that that was definitely purposeful.
But you know what? It's really shocking. I just don't see Logano being the guy to do that kind of move.
Right. We need to get Matt Kenseth back out there. Well, he was out there.
Yeah, yeah. our pole sitter.
Need a redo of Martinsville. Maybe we'll get that again.
Yeah. So anything else your way, Lugs, before we start moving on?
No, I really liked the package. I liked the outcome. I'd like to see it again at another race.
Points
this
race
year.
Or no points race?
Points race. Why not?
I guess, yeah.
What's there to lose?
It's worth a try. It's absolutely worth a try.
So what track would you like to see it at if it happened?
Pocono? Long straightaways.
Pocono, Michigan. I could also see Kentucky. Kentucky's kind of a...
Indy's later this year.
Boar Fest. Yeah, but that's the very last... That's a cutoff race before the chase starts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a ballsy move there.
Yeah, true.
I don't see that happening.
It'd be a good track to do it at. Again, like
the
Xfinity.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't see that happening. I do see them doing Pocono or Michigan, though. Those would be good tracks to try it on. In fact, I think Xfinity is doing it at those tracks this year. So.
Are they? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the schedule is with that rules package.
Yeah, pretty confident they are.
So we'll definitely, you know, check it out and, you know, keep an eye on it. And I think reading Twitter and Facebook, I definitely think fans are pushing for it.
For once, there was some fans that I think approved of a decision that NASCAR made.
Yeah, Steve O'Donnell said the last 10 laps was not a fan sitting in the stands.
Yeah. And granted, you know, Harvick did lead every one of
them. I'm sure Brian France was standing wherever he may have been. I'm sure he was at the All-Star race. You know, one of your signature events, I would hope you would be there.
You could tweet the president. Maybe he'll tell you again.
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked to Brent in a while. I need to reach out to him. My old buddy Brent Dubar. Brent, if you're listening, reach out to me. Tell me what Brian was up to at the All-Star race. So, I don't have any other... I mean, the All-Star race was great. It was exciting, but it wasn't really a lot of news coming out of the All-Star race itself. Other than, you know, a little excitement from the
fans.
A
couple crashes, yeah.
From the racing standpoint, it's kind of a quiet weekend. Fun weekend, but quiet weekend.
Yeah, I mean, no major headlines, but, you know, a good weekend, I think, overall. Good package, good outcome. You know, I don't think NASCAR really could have asked for much more out of that weekend, do you?
No, I don't think so at all. I think it was definitely a very successful weekend for them.
One thing I did see online is... You know, they kept this package such a tight lid on it before the weekend, right? None of the tools, none of the teams had the tools or the items to play with before that weekend, right? So now that they know what they are and they've got some information, let's say they implement it in another race this year, right? Does that change anything? The teams
absolutely.
Are going to have time to develop now.
Yeah, and not only develop it, they're going to have time to engineer it.
Exactly.
De-engineer it. Take
it
apart.
Manipulate
find
it.
Every little thing
Loopholes.
They can. Yes.
Exactly.
So absolutely will be a different product next time we see it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm an engineer. Those guys are so smart. I love it. That's why I love NASCAR. It's just great seeing the thinking that's involved.
They'll go to any length. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As they should, really.
And I think Junior put it well last week when his team was caught cheating a little bit. He said there's going to be times that you ask your team to take the rule book and find the holes in the rule book.
Who was this?
Dale Junior, about his Xfinity Series team. He said that he's pushing for NASCAR to regulate as hard as they can. Mm-hmm. He says sometimes those lines are going to cross.
Mm.
So he wasn't mad at his team for trying something and getting busted. But I think he put it well where, you know, he expects his team to try to push the limits and he expects NASCAR to mandate it or to regulate it. And like you said, sometimes those paths will cross. So I definitely think Junior was spot on with that comment.
I didn't hear that, so that's cool.
Yeah. So going on to, I guess I'm ready to talk about other news this week. How about you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So to me, the biggest one, it's funny because I was looking at Twitter when this happened, is that Rob Kaufman, who is...
The biggest what?
The biggest what, huh?
Yeah, you said the biggest one to me.
The biggest news, the biggest news event to me. Rob Kaufman, I don't care about the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Okay.
So, Rob...
Because for the record, that's way bigger than this little small Twitter implosion. Twitter's for Trump. We'll just leave it at that. But go ahead.
We'll be talking about Trump in a few minutes.
What happened?
So, Rob Kaufman, and for people who don't know who Rob Kaufman is, he is now the president, essentially, of the Race Team Alliance.
Yeah.
And he's also part owner of Chip Ganassi Racing. He used to be part owner of Michael Waltrip Racing. So kind of set the limits on who this guy is.
Yeah.
So if you remember back in the day how successful and awesome Michael Waltrip Racing was, right?
Right.
Like super successful, super, super awesome.
Super.
Okay.
Super.
So Rob Kaufman goes on and makes a comment because there's another team, small team, entering the race at Charlotte this next weekend. So that's going to be 41 teams in a field of 40. So one team's going to have to go home. How many spots are guaranteed?
Go home 200 feet to their
home. Yeah. So how many spots are guaranteed every week?
40. Oh, you mean the field? Okay.
I mean, yeah. So how many people in the
35.
Field? 35 or 36?
I don't know.
Whatever the charter system is now. See, 35 or 36.
I thought it was 35.
I was thinking it was 36. Regardless, there's only maybe 5 spots open for a team to come in and try. Okay.
So we haven't really had that happen. So.
We haven't, yeah. So now we have a team coming in. So there's going to be 41 teams competing for 40 spots.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Kaufman.
Probably the first time this year, right? Because I don't even think.
Maybe Daytona.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know if we even had 41
attempts. Most of the race has been 37, 38.
Right.
So Rob Kaufman comes out, and this is his quote. Ridiculous. Devalues the sport. Why give away money to non-competitive part-time cars? Give to charity or create driver retirement disability fund? So that was his comment.
What does he expect a powerhouse to just come in and enter the race and dominate? And like,
yeah, that's exactly what he expects.
How is any team supposed to ever develop themselves and grow? In
exactly. Now let's talk. This, I'm bringing it up because I want us to talk about this, debate it. If there's a debate that needs to be had. Definitely needs a discussion on this from a fan's perspective. So, I'm not a huge fan of starting part teams. But
no.
I am a fan of teams trying.
But that's just it. Maybe the teams, that's all the means that they have, is they have to start in part.
Yeah. So, talking to
they
some...
They only have 2 sets of tires, or whatever the case is. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they don't even have a full pit crew.
Exactly. You know, one of the guys on Twitter made a comment... Mullins Racing, if you're listening, Mullins Racing, hey, what's up? We kind of had some tweets back and forth a little bit, but essentially, he was saying that in the Xfinity Series that he works hard, gets his car where he can, and that most of these big teams have more people in their gift shops than he does on his whole race team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the reality is in this sport. So, Rob Kaufman went on to make, I mean, there's a lot of discussion back and forth between small team drivers, small team owners. Tommy Joe Martins, he's a smaller team driver, and he had a lot to say. And I respect everything he said because he's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
So Rob Kaufman's, and I will say this, probably arrogant attitude towards this whole situation really, I hope, put a black eye on him, because, I mean, it really looks bad because he started making comments such as, a team should only come in and race, essentially, if they had the means to run a full season and the resources to run a full season.
You know how hard that is?
Okay. One of the most successful drivers, one of the most successful teams in NASCAR history was not a full car team or a full season team. Mm-hmm. Who am I talking about?
Pearson.
David Pearson with Wood Brothers Racing.
Yeah.
Ran a part-time schedule most of the time.
Yeah.
And he still had over 100 victories.
Right.
Anyway, both of us had him in our top 5s. And he ran a part-time schedule.
Yeah.
So,
what's he have to say about that?
Yeah, exactly.
I hope it was a situation where Mr. Kaufman was just a little boozy and was hitting the tweet button preemptively without thinking.
He was pulling Trump.
Yeah, that's a daily thing. But yeah, I mean, it's
for people out there, we don't get political. Regardless of your feelings, Trump does tweet a little bit too much.
Yeah,
I will put it out here right now. I voted for the guy. That's all I'm going to say. So I don't think we're Trump haters because we're not political at all. So don't take it that way.
But you know, maybe it's one of those things where he tweeted without thinking about the consequences or really put a valid effort, which, you know, I know you probably should be thinking about what you're tweeting, right? Before you hit the
especially because you're essentially almost in a position to be the face of the sport for the NASCAR teams.
Right. So, yeah, especially being in a race team alliance in the position that he is in. But
he's an arrogant prick. Reading everything he wrote, he's an arrogant prick.
I haven't looked back to see if he deleted anything or if he's out there swatting flies and trying to hit back responses.
He gave up. He was commenting a little bit. He gave up. Tommy Martin's really, he didn't lay into him. He had very respectful conversations, but very heart-to-heart kind of conversation coming from him being a small-time team.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good stuff. I really, really liked everything he said. And the same thing with Mullins Racing as well. The guy has his own company and working hard as he can to make that successful and then doing a race team on the side for himself to be successful. So, you got to respect. We keep talking about grassroots racing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Kaufman goes on to say that if small teams should stay in the grassroots leagues like ARCA and Xfinity. So, then that brings up the conversation. Is Xfinity grassroots racing?
No.
Not even close.
No.
Not even close. So
this dude just sounds completely disconnected from the sport.
Absolutely. He has the big team mentality. The only teams that matter are the five,
which,
six
the
top
last
teams.
Race team he had closed the door. So,
exactly.
My gosh. It's like, come on, man. Get a grip.
One of the drivers talking about, I think it was Ryan Sieg, was talking about how is Xfinity grassroots racing when you're racing against
Kyle Busch
Motorsports. Yet, what, Penske has a team. Mm-hmm. Roush has a team.
Junior
Motorsports, which is Hendrick Light. You have all these big teams racing with cup drivers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to talk about it being like a grassroots race?
Yeah, man, I don't know. Like I said, I think that dude's delirious. Maybe he was boozing a little hard that day or something. I don't know.
And it started the debate on, again, like we talked about a few weeks ago, was should cup drivers now be allowed to race at all in Xfinity? There's some good arguments for them not to be allowed.
Yeah.
And there's good arguments for them to be allowed. Like, another thing that Kaufman said that really pissed me off is he says that you can't come in and pay and expect to compete with the Yankees and the Cowboys. Basically saying that these small teams shouldn't even try because they're not going to be able to compete anyway with the big dogs.
But how do you ever get to that level? You have to build yourself up to get
hey,
to
Lugs,
that level.
5 years ago, where was Furniture Row Racing?
Yeah, struggling mightily with a
where were they last
Chevrolet.
Year? Where were they last year?
Championship winners.
Championship!
Yeah, exactly. So,
there's a lot of evidence out there to be tossed at Rob Kaufman's arrogant face saying how dumb he really is. And I hope he does listen to the show. I don't care. It's just those ignorant statements is how NASCAR became out of touch with its fan base. And we discuss every week about how NASCAR is a declining sport. You know, we love it because of stuff like this.
Because of guys like this, yeah.
We have to turn that philosophy around. We have to get more of these people talking to the communities, involve the communities, make it more accessible to communities, treat the fans like they're people, not just dogs watching TV.
Right.
I'm on my soapbox. I'm going to get off of it for right now.
You got really high on that.
I did. It's like talking about F1. It just pisses me off. So, Lugs, take over for a minute. Let me relax for a second. Drink some of my beer. What do you have to say?
Chase Elliott's going to drive in Xfinity. Well, we're talking about Xfinity a little bit. Chase was tabbed to drive for GMS Motorsports in place of Spencer Gallagher this weekend. And then I think a couple other Xfinity races throughout the year. So that's kind of cool. Going to see Chase back in the Xfinity car this weekend. I think Hooters is following him on board from the Cup Series back to his Xfinity ride. So I'm sure there was some crossover sponsorship there that he probably pulled some strings on, sounds like. But that's awesome. Cool to see Hooters in the Xfinity Series race, and exciting to see what Chase can do Saturday night.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a fun opportunity for him. I'm just kind of surprised that I don't know the relation, I guess, with him and GMS Racing. It just seemed like it was, I guess, just an opportunity to be able to get more seat time,
I guess. Could be, yeah.
So, hope he makes the best of it. We'll come back down to debate again. Should Cup drivers be allowed to race in Xfinity? We talked about it.
Yeah, we debated a couple podcasts ago.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about our two cents on like my thought of being in the back of the pack, whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we'll move on. There's no reason to
still be a dead horse. Just jump back a couple episodes and you'll catch that one.
And fans, again, as always, please reach out to us. Have some conversation back and forth. We'll talk about on the show. You know, it's all about dialogue. And we're fans doing a show for fans. And it's all about the dialogue. And hopefully one of these days NASCAR actually listens to us and maybe takes some of this to heart, because it is a fan show.
Yeah.
Remember, third and 24th people to email us at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. We'll send you something free. That's all I have to do. Just email. Just say hi.
And let us know, should Cup drivers be in Xfinity or not?
Tell Lugs he was wrong for having Dale Senior's fifth on his top 10 list.
No one's going to send an email on that.
There should be. I've got some stats for you in a little bit.
They know I'm right.
No. I'll have some stats for you in a little bit.
Why are you still bringing this up? That was like six episodes ago.
It doesn't matter. It was foolish on your part. All right, moving on. I'm getting on my soapbox again. I'm getting a little, my blood pressure's raising. So let's stop talking about that. So let's talk about good things. Let's talk about the White House. Truex, as the winner of last season with Furniture Row Racing, that underdog story. You know, that part-time team that struggled in the beginning.
Yeah.
That we just talked about.
That formed an alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing. Yeah.
So Truex won the championship, and we all know what his fiance Sherry went through.
Mm-hmm.
With her battle with cancer, etc.
Correct.
So, because of the championship, they were invited to the White House, the Furniture Row team. Go to the White House. Politics aside, it sounds like it was an awesome meeting. Trump talked good of NASCAR, which, you know, we'll take every good thing about the sport we can get.
Right.
Truex was very respectful. He said a lot of good things about Trump and how respectful he was. And one thing that really, in a way, surprised me, because it was supposed to be about Truex and his team, but it was an awesome moment, really, was Trump calling out Sherry.
Yeah.
How she's like an admiration to society on the way she stood up.
I actually gained a little bit of respect for him in that manner, because he could have easily brushed that off as, you know, a meet and greet with the championship driver and team of 2017 and been on his way. But, you know, the fact that he, you know, obviously he was briefed on it, but the fact that he brought that up and talked about it and acknowledged her and how important she was to so many people in the world that look up to her and are struggling with their own, you know,
battles.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought that was really cool and just, again, you know, kind of gained some respect for Trump on that.
Yeah, one thing that kind of stood out to me, besides what he said, was how he said it. You can see with any president, any person who speaks in front of the public a lot of scripted, prompted,
this didn't
dry
seem like that.
Speech.
Yeah.
This one seemed like it was straight from the heart.
This didn't seem like that, exactly.
Yeah. So I really, absolutely, it was a great time.
Yeah.
It was.
If you haven't seen it, fans, check it out on YouTube, Google it. It's out there.
Yeah. And, you know, good for Sherry. She needs the admiration that she's given, because she has been such a positive outlook and vision for people going
absolutely.
Through similar battles.
Through their charities and everything, all the charity work that they do. Absolutely.
Yeah. I seen a video not too long ago where they were having a Martin Truex Jr. Foundation event for her.
Uh-huh.
And Kyle Busch was dressed up dancing on stage or something. So they even make him look civilized. So, Sherry, you're doing wonderful things. So, I don't really have any more, like, a whole lot of news. I We'll talk about, I know what you want to talk about. We'll talk about that towards the end of the show.
Why the end? Why are you going to be so disrespectful about
I'm not being disrespectful.
You are.
I was going to talk about next week's race, but you know what? We'll go ahead and get it out. We'll get it out now, and we'll talk about the next week's race here in a little bit. So what do you want to talk about, Lugs?
You know what I want to talk about. If it wasn't for me bringing this up, you probably would have skipped it entirely.
I have it on my notes to talk about.
All right. So
actually, on my notes, because I wrote my notes several hours ago, was that there was a discussion of this happening today, but it hadn't been released yet.
Mm.
But in between that moment and really pretty much breaking news is that the results were released.
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead.
So obviously, for the fans who haven't heard, just a couple hours before we recorded this podcast, NASCAR unveiled the five candidates that were going to be voted, inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. So Gordon, of course, was the big one. Everybody kind of, I think, expected him to be number one pick for the ballot, which he was. Also, let's see, we had Jack Roush, Roger Penske, Davey Allison, and Alan Quicke.
Alan Quicke, yeah.
Yeah, so a full, I mean, that's maybe
It's a star-loaded field.
Yeah, that's a very loaded class to be inducting, absolutely. So
a couple things real quick about this that I don't know if you've seen the notes on this or whatever. Jeff Gordon, there was a discussion with him of being the first unanimous decision to go in the Hall of Fame.
Which he wasn't.
Which he was. He got 96% of the vote.
Yeah.
So he was close, but he wasn't there. So it makes you wonder, like, who didn't vote for him and why. But
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
One thing I want to throw out there, I don't know if you've seen this quote from Jeff Gordon.
Uh-uh.
Jeff Gordon said he is too young. This is coming from Jeff himself, saying he was too young to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So there is, in every Hall of Fame in any sport, there's always some unmentioned rules that the writers and whoever else that vote have.
Yeah.
Like if someone in baseball has any controversy of potential, you know, PED use or whatever, that they're absolutely no vote, et cetera, like that. So in this case, Jeff Gordon, there was some quiet speakers out there saying that Jeff Gordon, almost anybody should not be a first ballot Hall of Famer unless it's the really old school guys.
Yeah.
You're talking about like Fireball Roberts, old school guys. Those are the guys that should be the only ones that consider for first ballot Hall of Fame.
When you've got the stats, my argument there is it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and Gordon is 100%, 120% deserving of a Hall of Fame nomination.
Absolutely.
And nod. The guy was remarkable, you know. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And
you really can't,
you know,
put
being
it
a Dale
in...
Senior fan, he helped keep a rivalry that, in a way, it didn't even exist, but in our minds it did.
Yeah, exactly. It was all fabricated.
Yeah, it kept the sport interesting for us. Because how many times did me and you debate this?
Yeah, and for fans that maybe don't know this, but on track, Gordon and Earnhardt were huge rivalries. They battled for wins, you know, till the end. It was just crazy. But off the track, they were very close friends. They had businesses together. And that's the side that a lot of people, maybe they know now, but at the time they didn't know.
Right.
So
definitely he's well deserved. I mean, he's a great announcer. He's a spokesman for the sport. He brought a whole different class of fans to the sport.
I was thinking, you know, the other day, like, if Gordon didn't make it into the sport, right, what would the sport be like? Would someone else, you know, preemptively been the same, you know, had the same outcome?
It would have been a whole different look to it, if you ask me, because we were on the path of, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing because I fell into this culture, but a Southern good old boy sport.
I think that image would have maintained itself longer.
Absolutely.
Eventually,
absolutely.
We would have, I think, overcame that as we did, but I think it would have been later.
Yeah, you know, Gordon, the pretty boy from California, he's technically from Indiana, really not too far from where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But he does say California was his roots, essentially. So he brought a whole different, I don't know, pretty boy sunshine feel to him that rubbed a lot of people wrong because he didn't meet the mold.
And it divided the fans, which, again, you know, that was good for the sport.
Yeah, we're talking about teams that were hiring people like Harry Gent, Ken Schrader, Bill Elliott, you know, stuff like that. People who were older, mature, and who have worked their asses off and tails to get where they were. And he had his kid coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, almost like he wasn't showboating, but it kind of felt like to them, I think, that he was.
Well, I mean, he had to make a name for himself, right? It was either going to do that or he was going to fail out. So I think when you're pressed up against the wall like that, you gotta do what you got to do to turn heads, right? But
and he can't do nothing but regardless of your feelings, you have to respect him and his racing.
He revolutionized the sport. He paved the way for youth. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have Kyle Larson. You wouldn't have Tony Stewart. You wouldn't have
Jimmy Johnson
especially.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just you can't really put it into words in my opinion. So just extremely, as a Gordon fan, I was a Gordon fan from the mid-90s when I stumbled across the sport. I'm just really excited to see him. I knew he would be in there one day, right? But just really excited and happy for him to finally be inducted in. That's really cool.
Let's talk about, I want devil's advocate moment here, okay? So I kind of jokingly made this comment to you earlier. So let's talk about this. Did Jeff Gordon ruin the sport of NASCAR?
Ruin it?
And let me phrase or kind of describe what I'm talking about. We look at the sport as of today, where it is today, where these young drivers are coming in, money, everything is aimed at these younger drivers. The racing is not quite where it used to be. Was all of that situation created in the downturn of sport where we are now from Jeff Gordon's culture he brought into the sport?
No.
I disagree. So, we definitely need a Jeff Gordon for the sport. I absolutely believe that. Again, this is a devil advocate's moment. That if he wasn't...
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to...
Well, I'm just saying that right now, a lot of stuff that we talk about in NASCAR and where it's failing at, the culture, where it currently stands, if Jeff Gordon didn't come in the way he came in, would it be like that today? I don't think so. And I'm jokingly saying he ruined the sport. He did not. He did a lot for the sport. I'm just saying where it's at now, he is what bred where we're at now.
No, I'm going to disagree. I don't agree with that at all. I think without Jeff, it would have never hit the heights that it did, in my opinion. Therefore, we wouldn't even be sitting here talking about it, in my opinion, quite honestly. So that's my take on it.
And I can see that. So
I don't think, without him ushering in all of the companies, the different eyeballs from all over the world, the, you know, different brands.
Mainstream, the acting, the mainstream, the movies,
New
and stuff
York,
like that.
Exactly,
right.
Saturday Night Live. Like, we would never have hit the pinnacle that we hit without
True.
Him.
Okay, so, yes, I agree with you there. So, on the flip side of that.
Oh my God, Gasman agreed with me.
We had the peak, right? The summit that we hit with him. But on the backside of his career, do we have the... Think of the stock market. We had that high. We rode that high.
Can't attribute that to him.
I think in a way you can. And I'm not... He should be where he is. The guy was great for the
sport. Guy can't race forever, for one thing.
But I'm just saying that we're... Just looking at the sport where it is today and what we complain about the most.
Well, you could equally place blame on Dale Earnhardt Jr. then, if that's the case. I mean, he was integral to the sport, right?
Yeah, but he didn't bring in that culture of the young gun.
No, but a huge part of his fan base was, you know, responsible for it reaching its peak point as well.
Yes, yes.
And his involvement with the sport and having his dad's name, you know, and then retiring last year.
And again, folks, I'm not saying, I was not a Jeff Gordon fan, really. I mean, towards his end part of his career, I was. I respect the guy a lot, and he absolutely should be in the sport, and he did everything for the sport. Him and Senior, I mean, they really made the sport, really. And this is just a devil advocate's moment of, like, where we're sitting at today and how we got where we are today. So, again, feel free to email us, email me directly, wreckingyourracing@gmail.com. Tell me how wrong I am. It's just something lingering out there, just... the cause and effect situation, and we see it. You know, we always say hindsight's 20/20. there's things that happen throughout our history of this world, every culture, every civilization. There's that one moment you look back at and say, that may have played a potential part into the decline of the society,
but
culture.
But the thing
whatever,
is, we would never have hit the highs that we did without him. So
we would never hit the,
you would never
the highs.
You would never have this discussion without him.
True, absolutely. But you would never hit the highs of our global economy and the strides we made in the 1950s without World War II.
I mean, that is a point to that, yes, but to place blame on one single person.
I'm not placing 100% of the blame on him. I'm saying that he bred what was started. He was that little nugget that sparked that. Essentially, he was
quest
that
quest for younger drivers.
Yeah, he was that. He was that.
Which
Big Bang
that
created
going,
all the planets
okay,
that lined
so
afterwards.
I think that was going to happen anyways. Okay. With the help,
it may have been
Gordon,
delayed.
With the help of Gordon, he ushered that. All right, but he also broadened NASCAR.
Oh, wait, to, hand over fist, hand
to,
over fist.
To every person.
And now,
in North
okay,
America.
Yeah, that's another thing. Let's talk about. So, I'm saying the decline of NASCAR. I'm saying where NASCAR currently is, which is in a questionable spot. Still love it. Still a huge fan, but there are things that we question as a fan. Correct.
Yeah.
So. He brought enough that where I say decline still might be 100 million more fans than what would have been.
But in every sport, I mean, are you going to argue that with every
you
athlete
have,
in every sport?
You
I mean,
have. You have.
You've got your you know, elite sports figures in every sport, right?
So yeah, absolutely. You can almost say the same thing that any sport has a decline.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you want to place,
yeah. I mean, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that one bit. That there's that one birth or whatever situation that kind of creates this aura, magnificent event, and then over time it just peters off.
And again, that
it's a firework, nice, great explosion, and at the end it's like, eh.
But I agree. I agree to you with what you're saying to a point, but to place that on one specific person, I don't agree with that statement.
Okay. But let me ask you this then. Do you kind of understand what my question
was? I know
was?
Where you're going with
okay,
it.
Okay.
I understand. And I don't totally disagree with the fact that NASCAR got so big for it's, you know, too big for its britches. Inevitably, like anything, right, there's going to be a downfall, right? Or some sort of a learning curve or something that's going to counteract itself, right?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
To place that solely on one person, I absolutely cannot sure. entertain the thought of that.
Anyway, fans, you know, let's congratulate Jeff, Jack, Roger, Alan, David.
And we talked about Jeff so much there. I do want to go back and hit. So, Jack Roush, his organization had 137 cup wins, 5 owner championships. That's impressive. Roger Penske, 107 cup wins. Again, another 5 NASCAR championships, so matches Roush there. Davey Allison, 19 cup wins, including 1992 Daytona 500 champion. And, of course, you know, lost him at way too early in his life. And Alan Kulwicki, 1992 cup champion and easily one of NASCAR's, you know, greatest 50 drivers. Again, lost
way too early.
So yeah. Just happy, excited to see all of these great sports figures inducted in 2019.
Exactly. And fans, please, you know, pay your respects to the ones that we have lost and pay your grad to the guys who helped build the sport like
it
Jeff.
Wouldn't be who it is without, you know, I mean, everybody in the sport, honestly. But
even people like Jeff Wodine.
That's true.
Derek Cope, Morgan Shepherd, Jimmy Spencer. I mean, who else can we get, you know, punch people in the face like Kurt Busch, you know? So, fans, that is all for the news. Let's talk about next week's race, one of the greatest races on the planet Earth, the Coca-Cola 600. Same weekend as the Indy 500, same day as the Indy 500.
And?
The Le Mans or something, right? One the
Monaco,
okay, one of the
your favorite
yeah,
racing series,
of, yeah,
F1.
Exactly. I love all the racing. Mons okay, is a totally I'm a car guy. Yeah, whatever. But let's move on.
Series altogether.
So this Coca-Cola 600.
Oh my gosh.
Couple of notes.
I don't get too many opportunities to make gas
stop,
man.
Stop, look. let's move on. Coca-Cola 600.
So I'm gonna revel in this for a second.
Coca-Cola 600. Obviously, the favorite going in is going to have to be Harvick, no doubt about it. Okay, it's not who I'm going to pick to win the race, but it's kind of hard.
Harvick is not your pick?
No, so it's kind of hard to bet against him.
Not going
to
pick him as your, what was last week, an alley-oop?
Alley-oop, yeah. Is that what you called it? Yeah, alley-oop. Supposed to be alley-oop. I may have said alley-oop. I think I said alley-oop. So we did get called out by a fan, Jason, on that, or I did, I should say. So, Jason, if you're listening, it's the second week in a row I've called you out, so thanks for calling me out, you prick. So, no, in a good way, as a joke, Jason, you're not a prick sometimes. So, this week's race, 600 miles at the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Longest race of the year.
Yeah, longest racing day of the year.
Yeah.
So, a couple of notes is that...
So, you're going to watch all three? Is this what you're telling me?
No, absolutely
you're
gonna
get
not.
Up at 6
watch,
or 7 and watch
Monaco? I'll watch two. I'll watch the Indy 500.
Oh,
and I'll
God.
Watch
even
Coke
you
6
saying you're going to watch the Indy 500. I need that.
That's historic. We live in Indiana. We live in that's historic
so
for our culture.
So you watch it. Okay.
For the most part, I at least watch five laps of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know better.
So, shush. So, going back to what we were actually discussing, NASCAR, our favorite sport. Couple things to point out. So Harvick's going for three in a row for the second time this season. Maybe he'll ink it out. Maybe he won't.
Technically, he got three in a row.
Points races. How about that? Right. Three in a row all points right. races. So that's one note to take away from this. If he leads, I think it's like 89 laps, he'll become the 15th driver to lead 12,000 or more laps. So I've got some stats for you there, Logs.
Do you?
Yeah, so let's talk about this real quick. So
usually I'm the one with the stats.
Yeah, this one's kind of interesting. So whenever Harvick gets his 89 laps and he becomes the 15th driver with 12,000 or more laps, name the other two active drivers with 12,000 or more laps. Laps left.
Active, I'm going to say Jimmy Johnson.
Yes, that's one.
And... I would say Kyle's got to be close to that.
And Kyle Busch is the other.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, pretty good pick of people there. Here's a quick note about Kyle Busch. There's only one points race he has not won.
Here.
One track, I mean.
Yep.
And that's Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle Busch is really pushing hard for this Charlotte victory.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of time.
It is. So let's talk about other lap leaders by chance. So... Yeah, Jeff Gordon, who is 6th on the list with 24,000 laps led. Okay, respectful. But there's this guy sitting in 4th, and you put him 5th on your damn top 10 drivers list.
Oh, because,
his name is Dale Sr. with more laps led than Jeff Gordon.
He's got 700 more laps led, and his career was significantly longer.
Was it?
I don't know.
Okay, his rookie season was what year?
I don't know.
79.
I'm not the Earnhardt fan.
79. 79 in 2001.
Okay.
How many years
so
did Jeff...
It was 22 years then.
How many years did Jeff race?
23.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, again...
I didn't know how many
I just want,
years.
I just
I'm not
want,
an Earnhardt
okay.
fan.
I just wanted to say, again, you disgraced half of NASCAR's fans by putting Dale Sr. a 5th on your top 10 driver list.
So, you should be really upset that Kurt Schalmerdine isn't... And being inducted into the Hall of Fame then.
How many laps did he lead?
That's a moot point. Do you know who he is?
He was, yeah.
Who?
He was a racer.
And?
And a crew chief.
For?
Dale Sr.
Okay.
Yeah. Back in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And? How many championships did he win for Earnhardt?
3 or 4.
4.
Okay.
So you do know that.
Yeah, but...
You're not guessing.
Yeah, so I do know who he is. I'm not guessing, but it's essentially, again, he's a crew chief, not
so
a driver.
So I just thought I would have a little bit more flair from you there about him not being inducted, because he was like a third, I think, three times he's been on the ballot and not voted.
Yeah, but you don't
in.
Really think about... How many crew chiefs do we have in there? 2?
I'd have to look.
I don't know. I know Ray Evraham is, but he's also was a car owner. Successful.
True.
So there's a little bit of a different level for crew chiefs. So they're not quite held to the same standard as the drivers, etc. Especially back in that day, because back then the drivers made everything. Crew chiefs weren't that valuable. They were, but not to an extent that they are 10 to modern times. So 10 years ago to modern times. So anyway, I just want to let Nugget out there. Fans, if you want to yell at Lugs for him.
But also, if you're going to use that mentality, tell me who's number one on the list with laps led.
Richard Petty.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. Just making sure. So
yeah, he was in my top two on my list. Okay,
and then second would be
Kelly Yarborough, okay. Bobby Allison the third.
So if you're going to use that mentality, Earnhardt would be ranked fourth then.
No, that's just that was just one of the nuggets. Seven championships.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that what I'm getting to is that you completely did not use enough facts and discredited one of the legends of the sport when you did your top 10 list.
I didn't discredit him.
Yeah, yes, you did.
Yeah, he made the top five.
You didn't look up enough stats and you just went off what your feelings were and not what actual numbers show.
I mean, what do you want me to say about it?
That you're wrong. That's what I want you to say.
No, I'm not going
to
say I'm wrong.
Yeah, absolutely you should say you're wrong. You should admit it to the fans who are listening to the show right now.
Nope. Not going to happen.
Fans, tell him he's an idiot. All right, moving on. Talking about Cole Custer 600. Who do we expect to be the head of the class and maybe one of our dark horses? What are you thinking, Lugs?
I'm going to go with my main pick from last week, Larson.
Okay, strong choice, sure.
Do I think he's got what it takes to take down Harvick or Busch? It's a long shot. But I have faith. He had a lot of speed at the All-Star Race, even though it's going to be a completely different rules package. I have faith. I think he can do it. He had about the only car that I would go out on a limb and say was faster than Harvick at Kansas. And he had that incident with Blaney and the pit road incident and all that. So I have faith Kyle Larson is going to dethrone Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick this weekend.
Okay, who's your dark horse?
Didn't really pick one, so I'm just going to go with one off the top of my head, and I'm going to say William Byron this weekend.
Okay, I think that's respectful. So this is a very interesting facet that I'll get to in a second. So I'll tell you my pick and my dark horse. My pick, and hopefully I can remember this for next week.
I'm writing them down this time.
Okay. My pick is I'm going for an all Hendrick pick. So Hendrick usually performs really well at Charlotte. Johnson's won, I think, 8 times. Chase had some good finishes there. So I think my pick is that Johnson to bust out of his slump and get a victory at Charlotte.
Wow.
My dark horse is Elliott. So here's my interesting dynamic that I realized when you were saying your picks. We all went for
Chevys.
I guess we're very hoping that they get their crap together and get going to make it a little bit more competitive. But it's very interesting. And 3 of our 4 picks are Hendrick.
We kind of look like we're a little
biased or something.
I promise you that I'm really not.
I was looking at stats and stuff. And
mine's just a shot in the dark. I didn't look at any stats this weekend. But I'm simply going for Larson because I picked him last week. And even though he let me down, he did
run
up
front.
He
was close.
He
close.
Challenged.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with him, but I'll be honest, my thought process was to go with Logano. I almost went with Logano, so I'm not completely biased.
I really want to go with Harvick, but I was telling myself not to.
Yeah.
Not to.
Yeah. It's easy. That's the easy pick.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, and you could almost argue... If Suarez has any of the speed
Truex
last
has been here in the last couple of races, has been very competitive. So I said,
oh, you said Truex.
A moment ago I said Truex, but okay. Suarez has been very competitive.
Yeah,
in the last couple of races, I think he's finished second like what 3 times.
Yeah. So here I got a question for you. I was thinking about this today on my drive home. Who's the better driver? We know who has more
best
wins,
equipment or whatever.
But who's the better driver?
Okay,
Kyle Larson or Chase Elliott?
I am going to have to go Larson. I think Larson's a much better wheelman than about 75% of the field or more.
And I would agree. So if you put Larson in Chase's equipment, Hendrick equipment, this year, do you think it would be any better?
No. And the reason why I say that is that as of last year and what's shown this year is that Ganassi, especially Larson, is better performing than Hendrick.
They have an edge. Yeah. So if you put Elliott in the Ganassi equipment, you think he wouldn't be quite as good?
I don't think so. I think he would be maybe a little bit better than where he is now, but I don't think he'd be pushing for victories.
Okay.
I honestly do think Larson is a little bit more aggressive and a little bit better wheelman than Chase.
And I agree. I actually agree. That was my thought process as well. No discredit to Chase or anything, but yeah, this is his third full-time year in Cup, and still waiting on that win, man.
Yeah. So. And I think he'll get it this year. We talked about it. It's just...
Well, yeah. The program,
let's come on with it, you know?
The program and the car right now that he's in is not doing him any favors, unfortunately. But how many second places he have?
Yeah,
like
eight
now?
Eight, so yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so what other kind of questions you got for me this week?
You know what? That's it.
Well, I usually bring a lot to the table for me.
Yeah, I like to stump you.
Yeah. So I really think this was a great episode. I really enjoyed this episode. Fans, I hope you did as well. Lugs, any last nuggets you want to throw in there?
No. Be interesting to see how Danica does this weekend. She's in the Indy 500. Is that why you're going to watch? Oh, I knew
no,
you're a big
no.
Danica fan. I knew it this whole time. That's why you're going to watch it.
I am
it.
A Danica aficionado.
You I, knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I knew okay.
It.
Okay. We'll go with that.
I heard
that.
She's coming back to Junior Motorsports next year.
Oh, as what? A cheerleader?
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, folks, thanks for listening as always. Thanks for telling your friends. Please tell more friends. Look at us on Facebook. We're going to have a couple little competitions on there, at least one. And again, wreckingandracing@gmail.com.
Tell the gas man his top 50s all wrong, especially the top number one pick.
All stats.
He's going to argue this every podcast, so soon we're probably going to start losing listeners because they're tired of hearing you argue your false news.
Or tell Logs he's arrogant like Rob Kaufman.
That's a low blow there.
That's Michael Walter's buddy over there.
No.
Anyway, folks, thanks again for listening. Have a great day. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.